with a desire planted deep within your heart. You pray in faith and wait for God to move. Time passes and you wonder, did he hear me when I called? Should I even have prayed that prayer at all? You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. So while you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There comes a time when childlike faith must graduate to trust. Trials come and you're convinced you're on your own. But the teacher's often silent while you're in the hardest test. But he'll answer when it's time with what is best. You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. Ignore his child's earnest request. So while you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. Sometimes on his mind is a better plan, another way, a greater yes. You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. So while you're waiting, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. There must be a greater yes.
Every day I wake
to find that God's been faithful. In all the ways I knew that He would be. And I don't know how some people live without Him, because I know what Jesus means to me. I can trust Him, I can trust Him, for my God's at work in all things that I need. He is able and unchanging. He's the hope that still surrounds me faithfully. I have walked into a room so full of sorrow, and saw the desperate faces on the crowd. And they looked at me through eyes so full of pity, but through joyous faith I sang these words out loud. I can trust Him, I can trust Him, for my God's at work in all things that I need. He is able and unchanging. He's the hope that still surrounds me faithfully. I can trust Him. No storm He cannot weather, no sin He can't undo, no sickness He can't conquer, no mountain He can't move. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. He is able and unchanging. He's the hope that still surrounds me faithfully. I can trust. I can trust Him.
Bless you, buddy.
The song, A Better Yes, God has a better yes. Started talking. And we made a deal. started falling into place. Everything just started falling into place. The lady taking care of the loan just falling into place. And I was getting excited, more excited than I wanted to, because I know how those things go. But long story short, she closed on it this past Wednesday. And she's already moved in and wearing me out, fixing it up. I'll be busy all the time. But here's how God, it all came together. The house that fell through is right next door to this house. It's right next door. And I said to the fellowship, I said, that's where we were going, but God said no.
That's right.
He wants you to wait.
Right.
And that's the hard part, waiting on God.
Right.
So we waited, and now she has a much better house, a much nicer house by waiting. And this is another thing God kind of came through on. The lady knows that came over and gave me the original blueprints. And she said, do you know who built this house? I said, no. Well, the same person that built this house built a house for me several years ago. And built this sanctuary.
Amen.
Built this sanctuary. To the bones. Built this house. So God just kind of
yes.
Probably not to get it.
Bless you, Tony.
Yeah.
You.
Amen.
She's happy. I'm not so happy, but God is good.
Yes, so, yeah. Amen.
So how, and Brian was teaching this morning in class how we need to wait on God. Just need to wait. And we've all made mistakes where we jump ahead of God and we know what mistakes those are. But we truly wait and trust. And what better yes. Man, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, praise God for him. Just the little things he does in our life.
That's right.
I just like
it.
We've just started that process with Josh, so pray for us, please. All right, anybody else? Any other testimonies? God's good. God is good. Where's your pain?
Maybe not what I could before, but I can still do that.
Yeah.
There are
But I just wanted to make the point that even if I wanted to run ahead of God right now, I couldn't, because I'm not smart enough, and I don't know anything about this medicine. So. But I know that there's a plan, and even though I get disappointed, that's okay. It's okay, it'll be all right, because it could be a whole lot worse than what it is. And I am thankful that he knows what he's doing, and I really don't have to know. I just have to be. I just want to thank him that he is God, and that there is definitely a greater gift. I have no idea what it is. I don't even know if I'll ever see that. But some, you know, we used to ask ourselves as me and my siblings, why our mother had to suffer like she did for 7 years. I don't think we'll ever know who on this earth. But I can guarantee you one thing, God had a plan, because she served him for 84 years. And he had a plan for her. And whatever it was that he wanted to happen, I'm sure that somewhere out there it happened. Because that's just the way he is.
Right. Anybody else? All right. Pastor Jimmy's bringing the message. I'm going to ask Trent, if you would, to ask God's anointing. Before he prays, though, I just want to encourage you folks. If you missed last Sunday night, you missed a very good message that Trent brought.
Amen.
And I think it was probably on the computer. I guess all of our messages are on the computer. If you get a chance to listen to that message, you need to listen to that message. It would have been great if you'd have been here and saw the illustration that he gave. It was very powerful, the illustration that he gave. If you get a chance to listen to that message, you need to do that. It was a great message. I was very well. I don't want to say I was pleased. It was very encouraging to me. So I'm going to ask Trent if he would pray for Pastor Jimmy as he brings the message.
Glad to be with you this morning on this holiday weekend. What is the holiday that will be tomorrow?
What's
Labor Day. That's right. So this won't be a message kind of about Labor Day, but it's going to be very different, I guess. So won't go the way that it's expected to go, but it goes the way the Lord leads it. Psalm 23. If you got your Bible, Psalm 23. I'm going to maneuver some things right here so I can walk down. And we kind of positioned that so we wouldn't walk down there, so we wouldn't fall. I'll try not to fall, and if I do, I won't press any charges against anybody. I'll be careful. Psalm chapter 23, the 23rd Psalm. You say, that's a strange Labor Day scripture message, but hopefully it'll make a little bit of sense as we go into it. Psalm 23, something that's read at funerals all the time. It's something that people read while people are sick. It's something that, it's just a famous scripture, and for good reason. It's got a little bit of everything packed into it, all there in that one chapter of Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So several things about this, you know, when Labor Day, without getting into the whole meaning behind Labor Day, one thing that Labor Day means for us is that it's kind of a transition. It's a transition phase. It's kind of the end, the unofficial end of summer going into fall. And so this week I was thinking about transitions and how Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. There's a time to live, a time to die, a time to, you know, all of these things that it says. And so it's the same thing in our life. There are transitions that we go to, the changing of the seasons, the transitions that we have. And so in our lives, there's transitions also. There are times of death and there are times of life when children are born, and there are times when we go through things. There are times when we have changes in our jobs and things like this. And so I wanted to go into this Psalm 23 because it talks about transitions in his life. It talks about, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the neat things that I've always felt about this chapter is that it describes a journey that David takes. It describes a journey that the Lord is with him as he is in green pastures, or when things are going great, when he is beside the still waters, when he is in the valley of the shadow of death. All of these things are transitions in his life. And we go through those transitions all the time. But the very first verse is what is the key to this whole thing. The very first, not even the whole first verse, but just the first part of the first verse. This is what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. And see, we don't come to that automatically in our life. David had to come to a point in his life where he made the Lord his shepherd. It wasn't like that he just started out and from his birth, he was like, you know, that the Lord was there. But he had to come to a point where he decided that he had to put himself aside and say, I'm not in control of my life, but I'm going to put God in control of my life. And so we know at some point that David made that decision. He made that transition that we're talking about, where he decided that he was no longer going to be number one in his life, but that he was going to make God number one in his life. And because he did that, he was able to go through life with a leader, with someone to follow, with a Lord that is his shepherd. But he had to get there first. And so, the Lord is my shepherd, is what he says, and I shall not want. That is the key to the whole thing, is that David made the Lord his shepherd. And so that the rest of his life, when he goes through these times, these transitions that he's go through, the peaceful times, the stormy times, the light times, the dark times, the times on top of the mountain, the times on the bottom of the mountain, as he goes there, he is a shepherd that leads him all the way. And so, it's what he talks about. When I was thinking about this, I thought about a book that came out a long time ago by a football player. Football player's name is Gale Sayers. Some of you shaking your head, you know where I'm going with this. Gale Sayers, back in the 60s, he had a short career because of an injury, but he had a short career, but during that career, he had just such highlights. He was so good that he only played for about 7 years. He was only healthy for about 5 years, but almost all of those years, he was in the Pro Bowl. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1965 or something. He was the Comeback Player of the Year in 1969. I might have these a little bit wrong, but you know, you can check those later. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that he had all these accolades in his life, that he was so good. He led the league in rushing 2 years out of that short career that he was there. And yet he wrote a book. He wrote a book that was very famous and became famous. And part of that book they made a movie out of, But the book is called I Am Third. I Am Third. And so you say, what does that mean? I Am Third. What he was trying to say is that in his list of things, in his list of priorities in his life, he was third on the list. And you say, what was the first two? God and his family or other people were the first two things on that list, and that he was third. And I want to tell you this morning, if you want happiness in your life, this is what you need to do. If you want happiness and you want to be fulfilled, and you want to have a life that's fulfilling, and a life that's whole, and a life that's peaceful, and a life that you have that you can be proud of, and you can be happy with, and you will have contentment with this life, then make yourself third. That is my advice to you this morning, is to make yourself third. Put God in the driver's seat. Put God in the very first priority in your life should be the Lord. Should be the Lord. He should be your shepherd. And you should put him first. And you say, well, why don't I just put my family first? Let me tell you something. You can't put your family first unless you put the Lord first. You can put your family first on that list, but you're not going to come through for them because you don't know the Lord. How can you provide for your family? How can you provide and be the leader? And how can you do things for your family without the help of the Lord? You can't do it. You can't be effective at it. You say, well, yes, I can. Well, nobody can be effective at anything unless they put God first in their life. What does the scripture say? Put me first. Put me first. Seek ye the Lord. And all these other things will be added to you. Seek ye the Lord while he is near. Put him first. And all of these things will fall into place, is what Jesus tries to tell us. That's what David tries to tell us in this psalm. The Lord is his shepherd, and he did all these great things for me while in my life. In the green pastures, he calmed me down. In the green pastures, he allowed me to have peace when I was beside the still waters. He allowed me to not have fear when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Whether it was the valley of the shadow of my own death or the valley of the shadow of someone else's death that I'm close to. But he was there the whole time. The Lord was my shepherd through all of that. That's what he wanted you to know when he wrote these words. The Lord is my shepherd. Gale Sayers, with his illustrious career, he wouldn't stick that up there and say, this is what I'm about. He wouldn't say, I'm about these accolades, you know, whatever they may be. He's going to say, what I'm about is that the Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That's what he was trying to say with that. He summed it up so nicely by saying, I am third, because the Lord was first in his life and in other people. You see, you say, that doesn't make sense to be happy to have other people in front of you. But let me tell you something that God wants us to know. We were made to serve. We were created to serve. You say, how do you know that? Because people who serve themselves aren't happy. People who go after the things that make themselves, that would make themselves happy, that acquire the things that they want for themselves, they're not happy. They're not happy. They might think they are, but they're not. The material things that they gain of a life without a shepherd makes them unhappy. You say, how do you know that? Well, you see it in people's lives all the time. People who live for themselves don't have the peace and contentment that comes with serving God and serving others. You say, well, we'll demonstrate that. Well, you go to an athlete that knows the Lord. You go to someone who knows the Lord, someone who's gained everything, not just an athlete, but a celebrity. And you go to that person, you say, what's the greatest thing in your life? If they're a Christian, they're going to tell you, the greatest thing in my life is that I was saved. The greatest thing in my life is the day that I began to make the Lord my shepherd. And you say, okay, what's the second greatest thing in my life, in your life? The day that my kids were born. That might be something else they say, or if they don't have kids, the day that I got married, or whatever. But they won't list those things. If they're a true Christian celebrity or athlete, they won't list those. Well, the greatest day of my life was when I won the Heisman. The greatest day of my life was when I won the Oscar. No, they're going to tell you the greatest day is when they ask the Lord into their life. And so that is proof. That in itself is proof that when you have the Lord and you serve other people, then everything else falls into place. And you can be happy. And you can be happy. And you don't have to go out and attain all those things that the world tells you to attain. The world tells you that you need to make yourself happy. It tells you that you need to think about yourself for a little while. What the world tells you is you need to go and you need to put all your resources and go out and live it up and feel how it feels to serve yourself for a change. But that's a trap. That's a trap. If you haven't noticed it yet, that's a trap. And people, probably, we've in this room have all been down that road and have tried it out. Tried to make yourself happy with other things, with worldly things. It's a trap. The silver and the gold, it all corrupts. It all goes. And all the material things, they all fade away. And everything turns to dust. You know, there's a song that I worship only at the feet of Jesus. And it said, I bowed at altars of plenty. But as I knelt there, everything just went away. Everything fell to dust. And so that's what it is to try to serve yourself. To try to serve yourself and to make yourself happy. It won't make you happy. You know why? Because you were created to serve God. You were created to serve God. You say, how do you know that? Because you know what it feels like to have everything in your life line up when you serve the Lord. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you just have to experience it. You just have to experience doing what you're made to do. You just have to experience doing what you're made to do for the Lord, and then everything matches up, and it makes sense. And there's peace, and there's contentment. And there is peace in the dark times. There is peace when you experience death. There is peace when you experience divorce. There is peace when you experience all of these things that hit us and these transitions in our life. There is peace when you have a shepherd that is there with his rod and his staff. And there is peace to serve him. You may not know this, but you are serving somebody, whether or not you're serving the Lord. You are serving somebody. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because, you know, Jesus said, or, you know, it says in the Bible that he who is not for me is against me. And let me tell you a little bit about how Satan works, because he doesn't work exactly the same way. God wants us to serve him. But Satan doesn't necessarily want us to serve Satan. What does Satan want us to do? To not serve God. He doesn't necessarily say, I want you to worship me. What he convinces you to do is to not worship God in any way that he can do it. In any way that he can convince you not to worship God. One of those ways he does it is to convince you to serve yourself. You see, he doesn't have the same agenda that God does. God wants us to serve him. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. You know, you should have no other gods before you. I want to be your God. Satan's not the same way. He doesn't say, I want to be your God. He says, you should not serve God. You should serve yourself. Make yourself happy. Go wherever your arrow points of the compass of your life. Do whatever you feel is going to make you happy. That's what Satan says, because he knows that if you do that, you're not going to be serving God and serving his greater purpose. And so that's what he tries to convince you this morning, is to serve yourself or whatever way that he does it. He doesn't want you to serve God. And you say, well, why is that? Because he is already doomed. He is already defeated. And he doesn't want people to serve him. He's angry and he wants to take down as many people as he can. He wants to just take down, he wants to burn the whole thing down because he was defeated. And so that means that he wants to take as many of you with him as he can. He doesn't want to see you succeed. He doesn't want to see you have life and have life more abundant. And so he's going to do whatever he can to get you to not serve Christ. And one way to do that is to serve yourself. To do whatever you want to do. But that's not what God calls us to do. There was a man that went to Jesus once and said, "What are the commandments that I need to do? What are the things I need to do in my life to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "You should have no other gods before you, or love God with all your mind and heart and your soul." And then he said, "The other thing is like unto it, which is love others." Love other people. As you put other people first. And so what you find is that what Gail Sayers was saying is, I am third. That's what Jesus is saying. In your life, put God first and put others in front of you, and you will have a life that's more abundant. And that's what he says to do. And so with these transitions that we go to, as we go into these new chapters, you see, our life is like a big book, and you have different chapters, and you don't know what the next chapter is going to hold. But is Jesus there guiding you into that next chapter? That's what you need to ask yourself. Is Jesus the central theme of that chapter? I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to face a great economic challenge. Is God with me, and is he moving with me in this chapter? If not, it's going to be a rough chapter, folks. It's going to be a rough chapter in your life if you think all of a sudden that you can go and do it on your own. But eventually you'll come back and you'll say, well, when that happens again, I'm not going to forget and I'm going to serve the Lord. And so the chapter in your life, maybe you're switching jobs. You know that, are you taking Christ with you as you switch jobs so that when you go into that job, people see him? People see that this is one who follows a shepherd, the great shepherd. Are you taking him? Is he leading you into these things in your life? Is he first? Is he first? And are you serving the way that you should serve? Because that's what we were made to do. We were made to serve him. I talked a little bit earlier about serving God. And you say, well, that sounds kind of selfish on God's part, that he would have us to serve him. But it's not at all. You see, he asked us to serve him, but he also did something for us, didn't he? You see, it's not just a selfish relationship. It's not a one-sided thing with the Lord. It's not like, I want you to do all the work, and you're going to serve me, and I'm going to get glory from it. What Jesus said is, you're going to serve me, and I'm going to send my son to die for you. Or I'm sorry, Jesus said, you're going to serve me, and I'm going to die for you. And so, it's not a one-sided relationship when we serve God. You see, he put in the work, and he put in the sacrifice to come and to live as us, and to die at the hands of his enemies, and then to be resurrected, and then to ascend into heaven. He did all of those things so that you would follow him. And so you see, it's not a one-sided relationship. We follow him because he loved us. We serve him because he served us. He came among this world and he served the disciples. And so it's a beautiful relationship when you think about it. It's a beautiful thing that God has set up, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That comes full circle. You see, he says, put God before yourself, and really you'll be taking care of yourself. Put others before yourself, and really you will be taking care of yourself. And so that's what he calls us to do. When Peter went his way after Christ was crucified, and Peter spent the better part of 3 years following this man, and all of a sudden Christ was gone. He had been killed. And then Peter and the disciples were on their own. And Peter said, I'm going to go out and fish. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what I did before. And so he was kind of lost. He was kind of wandering around. Well, we heard from David that we're not meant to be just wandering around, right? We're not meant to just go through this life wandering around. You know, whatever happens is random. We're meant to serve God. And so Jesus showed up while they were fishing. And he cried out to them while they're fishing and said, do you have any meat? I think he was asking them, are you fulfilled right now? And they said, no. because their nets were empty. And he said, cast it on the other side. And so they did, and they pulled, and it says that their nets were so full that it was overflowing. It was breaking the nets. And so after that, Jesus meets up with Peter on the shore, and they know it's Jesus. And Jesus has a little conversation with Peter. And here's where we get into kind of bringing this whole thing together. Because Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do love you. And Jesus doesn't say, well, if you love me, then just take care of yourself, Peter. It's not what he says. If you love me, then just go and do your own thing and just be happy and find what's in life. That's not what he says. What does he say to Peter? If you love me, then feed my sheep. What is going on in that whole situation? You have Peter, you have Jesus, or God, then you have other people. It all fits. And what Jesus is saying is, if you love me, then you'll serve others, and we're all going to be benefited from that. We're all going to benefit from that. Put yourself third. Put yourself third. That's what the Bible says we should be. We should be third. If we're not, we're not doing it right. We should be serving God. We should be putting others before ourselves. And then we should be taking care of ourselves third. Because you can't do the first two without, or you can't do the second two without the first. And so, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Is that what you're doing this morning? Have you been living for yourself? Have you been living for yourself thinking that you can do everything that you need to do for yourself and for your family? Have you been living for yourself, taking on the whole burden and saying, I can lift this all by myself. I can take it. You can't take it. One of the most depressing things I think this world gives us is this whole idea of atheism. That everything is random, that you're just here, and that when everything goes bad, you just got to deal with it. That's a lie from Satan. That's a lie from Satan. That's another one of his tricks, trying to get you not to serve the Lord. What the Bible says and what God says is that when everything falls apart, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm greater than those things that fell apart. And I don't fall apart. And I want to lead you. I want you to be mine. That is what the Bible tells us. That is what Jesus tells us. That is what David tells us. That is what Peter told us. That is what Paul told us. That is what we tell you on a weekly basis, that God is there and he wants to be your shepherd. And that's what we tell you this morning. You can't do it on your own. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Everything we have, we owe to God. If you are good at what you do, it's not because you designed yourself to be that way. As far as I know, nobody drew the blueprints for their own life. God made you that way, and you got to use it for his glory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where do we end up? I want to show you the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And then I want to read you the last verse. Surely, the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's all you need to read is that first and last verse. The first verse is when you become saved. The last verse is when you leave this world to step into paradise. And in between is your life in this world. First verse, make the Lord your shepherd. The rest of it, he'll lead you through this life, no matter whether it's good or bad. He'll give you peace. And then the last part, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it, in a nutshell. That's it. That's the plan of salvation. Accept the Lord and live forever. And have a meaningful life in between. That's what he's telling us. It's not difficult. But we have to submit ourselves to him. In conclusion, as we get a song of invitation, now I picked this song. I didn't pick it. The Holy Spirit picked it. It goes along. It goes along with what the Lord's trying to tell us this morning. John 16, verse 24, Jesus said this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. I'll say it again. Let him deny himself or herself and take up their cross and follow me. You can't do it on your own, but you have to deny yourself. There's another part in the Bible that talks about deceiving yourself. You say, how can you deceive yourself? Well, you deceive yourself when you try to convince yourself that something's not true that really is true. And so we'll do anything, a lot of times, we'll deceive ourselves to make ourselves feel better. We'll deceive ourselves to talk ourselves into things that we do want to do or we don't want to do. And so Jesus said, be careful that you don't deceive yourself. In other words, be careful that you don't just serve yourself in this life. Because bad things happen when you do that. But instead, he said, deny yourself, put yourself aside, take up your cross, and follow me. And once you've done that, then feed my sheep. Feed my people. It's often said that pastors are shepherds. I don't believe that we're shepherds because Jesus is a shepherd. I'm just a sheep. I'm just a sheep, but I'll show you who the shepherd is. Amen? I'll tell you how to get fed. I'll be a sheep that helps you to find what you need to find in your life. That's all I'm doing this morning. I'm just a sheep that's telling you about the shepherd that you should follow in your life. And I'm just a sheep telling you where you should eat and where you should be to find happiness and find true happiness. And that is to follow Christ. Listen to the words of this song. If you haven't denied yourself and you haven't made him your shepherd, then do it this morning. Or if you're going through a transition in your life and you want God to be right there in the forefront, come this morning to this altar and put him in the forefront. Make sure he's there. Maybe you've been going through something and you've been trying to handle it yourself. Well, fix that this morning too. And decide to put him in the forefront of whatever it is you're going through. In short, whatever it is, if you need a shepherd right now, you come. Or if you have any other need, as we get a song.
Let's stand as we sing. Let's stand.
Come this morning and follow him.
I can hear.
Yeah.
My Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear the Savior calling. Thy cross and follow me.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
What
he
made Greg?
Will.
Oh,
go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm thinking this is what happens when you do follow him.
Amen.
When you do the first two verses, this is what he promises.
Yeah. Bless you, Tony.
Okay. He will give me grace and glory.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you, Tony. Started to say, David, what made David great? They said, they used to say about David, Saul has killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000, but he had such a reputation and such a, but what made him great in his life is those five words, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And everything that has come in my life that makes me happy comes from those five words. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd also. However you get there, you get there. Just make your way there. Anything else before we dismiss?